Welcome to the Climb Your Mountain podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Maurer, a life coach, certified ultra running coach, and high altitude mountaineer. Each week, I show you how to train, eat, think, and live like an athlete so you can reach that summit, hike that hike, or finish that trail race. My passion is to empower people of all ages and sizes to get outside and live lives of adventure. Remember, endurance training will never be easier than today. So let's dive into the show. Hey friends, guess who's back? I am so excited to be back with you all. Welcome to you if you're listening to Climb Your Mountain podcast for the first time. Maybe some of you are longtime listeners. I did about 70 episodes between 2020 and 2021. Those are still available on the feed. They're not going anywhere. I know some of you tell me you really like those and still listen. But yeah, what's been going on? So I actually stopped the podcast whenever I had a big pivot in my business. I went from being a personal trainer to a general life coach. As a life coach, I wasn't just working with athletes. I was actually working on all the life things, all the problems from money to relationships to careers. And it never occurred to me at the start of my business, at the start of my life coaching business, that endurance athletes might want a life coach. But it's so funny how life comes around. So guess who I mostly coach now? Mountaineers, trekkers, hikers, trail runners, people who do a mix of all the endurance sports. And in a way, I think this makes perfect sense. It's easy to find or make a training plan, as many of you know. There are many that work. The hard part is really managing your mind through 4 months of training, when you're battling setbacks, when your brain is screaming at you that you can't possibly do this thing, when you're struggling to manage your time and balance your outdoor adventure goals, maybe with work or family. I think that's when a coach can make a huge difference. And that's why I felt like this podcast needed to come back with an emphasis on the mindset aspect of outdoor adventuring. So here we are. I'll be here weekly, at least for now. I haven't hired a sound engineer or a producer. So these episodes, they may be a bit more raw than the older ones. Sometimes I might just go for a walk and just talk into my phone for 10 minutes and that's going to be an episode. But hey, that's how it's going to be for a while. Also, I just want to thank all of you who have made my podcast experience so fun, and I really want to create something valuable for you this time around, something that really goes to the heart of what you're experiencing. So if you have any topics you want me to cover, please send them my way. I love hearing from you. So with all that said, let's jump into our topic for today. Let's get into it. Let's do it. And today we're going to talk about how to overcome any fear. And the idea for this came up maybe a couple months ago. I did a fear of heights clinic that was really well received. And specifically, I'm going to share from that my three-step formula for overcoming any fear. So what can this help with? I actually did a little survey of just people I know about their fears, what they're afraid of in the outdoors. So let's just go through a few of these. How many of these can you relate to? Probably the most common one that came up, fear of heights and exposure. So fear of falling off a big cliff, really, really common among rock climbers, things like climbing without a rope, maybe if they're in the Alpine and they have to scramble. There are people that feel more afraid climbing with a rope, if you can imagine that. Rock climbers leading on a rope, rappelling, all this stuff can feel scary. And then for those of you who are hikers, trekkers, general mountaineers, one that came up a lot that kind of surprised me, and I added it to the list for sure, was walking down steep slopes. And I had never really thought much about that, but can so relate to that. I think when I climbed Mount Rainier, I went up just fine. And then when I turned around and had to go down, my heart froze. It just looks so terrifying. And the first 10 minutes were pretty terrifying. Other things that come up for people, driving to the trailhead, especially in poor conditions, when it's icy, when it's snowy. People are afraid of animals, bears, what have you. People are afraid of other people. It's kind of come into my awareness lately. How many women actually hike with guns, and not because they're afraid of animals, but just to keep themselves safe from other people on trail. Things that also came up, lightning, avalanches. And notice how it's good to have a healthy fear of some of these things. Maybe some people probably need to be a little bit more afraid of avalanches, say. sleeping outside overnight, hiking solo. This one really hit me, being in a group and being the slow one, especially if you're on glaciated terrain, you're in a rope team. And then probably the second most common one, failure. So whether that looks like not getting to the summit, if you're in a race and you DNF, yeah, a lot of people just really brought that up as a really big fear that came up for them when they're out doing their outdoor sports. So many fears, so many things we want to work with to overcome. How do we do it? So let me give you my three steps. And the first step is to take consistent action. If you're afraid of heights, for example, you're going to have to put yourself on maybe some exposed ridges that feel uncomfortable. And I realize for most of you, this is bad news. No one likes to hear this. We all secretly wish there was a way to think our way out of the fear. But fundamentally, in order to get over the fear, you're going to have to get out there and do the scary thing in some form. Basically, what you need to do is make the scary thing boring to your nervous system. And you've probably already experienced this in some way. For example, if you're a scrambler that likes to go up on ridges on class 3 terrain, you've probably noticed that when you start the season in June, it's really scary. And even easy things feel scary. And by the time you're scrambling all summer and it's September, it's the end of the season, you're bulletproof. Nothing is shaking you up. And really, that just is because you've been out there enough to make your nervous system not freaked out by heights, by exposure, at least not by the things that it was afraid of early in the season, right? And more bad news for those of us who are looking to overcome a fear, this is going to be uncomfortable. There is no way around it. There are ways we'll talk about in a second that you can make it more safe for your nervous system, but we can't take away the discomfort completely. Discomfort is absolutely part of the process. So a good question to ask yourself as you're listening to this and kind of swallowing this pill is, am I willing to be uncomfortable in order to overcome this fear? Am I willing to experience not extreme discomfort, but probably some moderate discomfort to make this happen? Just take a moment, check in with yourself there. And if the answer is yes, keep going. So that's going to bring us to step two. While you're taking consistent action, take good care of your central nervous system. Practice CNS safety, as we call it. So what does this mean? Taking consistent action does not mean you start at DEFCON 4 and terrify yourself. In fact, scaring yourself too hard is going to be counterproductive. So for example, if you want a free climb, but you're scared of heights, you don't have to start with Half Dome. You can start with the rock in your backyard. That's actually probably a better strategy. So your job when you're working on your fear is to really put together a progression of actions that will gradually habituate your nervous system to the scary thing. And a really useful tool for those of you who are working on this is something I call the fear scale. And how it works, it's a 1 to 10 scale, with 1 being no discomfort or fear whatsoever, and 10 being the scariest thing you can imagine. And as you're working through your fear, you probably want to choose activities, put yourself in situations that rate a 4 to a 7. Anything lower, it's not going to give your nervous system enough stimulus to create a fear response so you can actually start to overcome that fear. Anything higher than a 7, it might actually shock or traumatize your nervous system, and that's going to make you more scared, not less. So what does this look like in practice? I actually have a really good example from my life of where I've been trying to overcome a fear. And for those of you who have been to Colorado, driven from Denver to ski country, you know there's a really, really long tunnel, the Eisenhower Tunnel, as you go through Loveland Pass. I am terrified of that tunnel. I actually had a panic attack in that tunnel about a year ago. So I've kind of been working my way back to being able to drive through the tunnel so I can go to places west of Loveland Pass, go to all the ski areas, all the fun stuff that's over there. So how am I doing it? When I was looking at things that were between a 4 to a 7, really just riding through the tunnel was enough. I would sit in the front seat, just really pay attention while someone else was driving me through, kind of think about myself going through, feel all the feelings that went with that, feel the anxiety. And that was the first step. And then the second step was to drive toward the tunnel, which was actually the most terrifying step, I think. And then what I would do is I would get off at the last exit and just drive over. There's actually a road where you can go over the pass without going through the tunnel. So I would take that. And I kept doing it. I did it a few times to where I could drive up there and I still felt anxiety, but it wasn't overwhelming. And then the next step was to drive through the tunnel early in the morning when there's no traffic and to have a friend with me. And then I kind of progressed to driving through the tunnel with no traffic but alone, and eventually was able to drive through it at normal speed, just at the normal time when I would go through, and feel a lot of anxiety, but I was able to do it and get through. And really, I think what I need to do next to really just cement this ability to drive through the tunnel is to go up there and just take a day and drive through it like back and forth like 6 or 7 times and really just really take away any lingering fear that's hanging out in my nervous system. So yeah, you can kind of see how that works. You could make a plan like that for whatever it is you're working on. Which brings us to step number 3. And let's review the steps really briefly. You're going to take action, step 1. Step 2, while protecting your central nervous system. And step 3, really important, you're going to do all this from a place of self-compassion. So what's that look like? There's a really common thought error that fear is a weakness. We think that fear is a bad thing, that it's something that we need to purge from our brains. But what if fear is actually a sign that our brain is working properly, that our brain is healthy? And if you think about human evolution, way back when we were living in caves, Susie Cave Person, who isn't looking around for saber-toothed tigers, she isn't going to live long enough to reproduce. Our ancestors, the ones that lived long enough to mature and have babies that had babies and so on, all the way down to us, those ancestors were the ones that were always looking out for danger. They were always trying to see anywhere danger might be lurking. And that vigilance is something we've inherited. It's alive in our brains. It's actually there for a good reason. It just doesn't quite realize that it's 2022 as I record this, and we don't need to worry about so many things anymore. So anytime your brain is screaming danger, just taking a moment to have a little compassion for it. It really is trying to keep you alive in its strange way. Another common thought error that comes up is that we have to be tough on ourselves and whip ourselves to do uncomfortable things. And this actually keeps us from taking consistent action. And here's why. We can whip ourselves to try the scary thing a few times, but eventually taking action from that place of shame or anger or fear will become too painful and we'll stop taking action before we overcome that fear. Another way you can think about this is the difference between discomfort and suffering. Discomfort's just an emotion, it's in our body, it's, you know, we don't like it, but it's not doing anything bad to us. And then suffering happens when we layer shame, frustration, impatience, self-loathing over that discomfort. Usually it happens when we have a belief that that discomfort is not okay. So how can you get yourself to a place of self-compassion whenever you are taking action? Couple really great questions to ask yourself. First one is, how could you be a better friend to yourself when you're uncomfortable? What do you want to say to yourself in those moments? And if it helps, you can think about, what would you say to a friend that you really care about? You wouldn't be like, Susie, you suck. Get over it. Like, hurry up and just climb the damn rock wall that's terrifying you. You would never be like that, right? You could also think about talking to maybe a child. Actually, funny aside, my life coach says that the subconscious mind is actually 3 years old, so you have to talk to it like it's a preschooler, and you have to give it lots of positive affirmation, and she actually talks to mine that way, and it's so funny, and I love when she does it, and it works. It totally works, so that's a little trick you can steal. Talk to yourself, especially that survival brain, like it's 3 years old. And if self-compassion is really challenging for you, I just really urge you to sit with some of those questions, maybe do some journaling, really write down the answers, talk them out if you're more of a talker, whatever it takes to just really start getting your brain focused more in that direction. So friends, there you have it. 3 steps to overcome any fear Now comes the hard part, which is getting out there, feeling the discomfort, and doing the work. So if you are working out of fear right now, good for you. I'm here cheering for you. I'd love to hear how it's going. Hit me up on Instagram or through the contact links in the show notes. And know that I'm out there doing it too. Snow climbing season is coming up, which I haven't done since before the pandemic. So I'll be out there climbing easy snow and then moderate snow, and we'll see after that. Okay, friends, have a great week, and I will talk to you soon.